If you're new here and I haven't met you yet, my name is Brady, and I have the honor and privilege of serving here at Restoration Community Church as your next gen pastor. So a show of hands, if you're a parent in the room, raise your hand, parents out there. Hey, we have amazing kids and students here at Restoration Community Church. You're doing a great job, and it's such an honor to be able to serve the children of this church. And so thank you so much for being amazing and incredible parents. I myself am also a parent, and me and my lovely bride Bridget just welcomed our fourth child to the world. So I actually would like to introduce Jensen Breckwright. Bridget, if you can bring Jensen up here, this is his introduction to the world. All right. The rest of the services just got a picture. You guys get the real thing. Here he is in the flesh, Jensen Breckwright. Have you ever heard a good Colorado native name like that? He is 6 weeks old. He's doing great, and we are so excited to have him in Restoration Kids Ministry. So thank you guys. Welcome Jensen one more time, everybody. All right, where was I? I'm distracted now. Hey, Kaylee did a great job of kind of going over some things that happened here at church on Christmas, and I want to hit on a couple other things. We had over 1,000 people in attendance at Restoration Community Church between our 8 services. We had over 175 kids come to one of our 8 services on Christmas. And Restoration Community Church, I'm not sure we gave a loud enough applause the first time. So one more time, I would love for us to celebrate 108 people who gave their hearts to Jesus at Christmas. Let's give God all the glory and praise. How amazing. God is doing incredible things here at our church. And so I'm going to ask for a little audience participation as I typically do when I'm up here. So I have a question for you. I would love to see a show of hands of people in this room who believe 2020 will be their best year yet. Any hands, any hands. All right, lots of optimists in the room this morning. That's great, that's great. So after today's message, I believe that we can double that number of hands in the room. I believe 2020 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing here at church, God. I thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of people. We just pray that today's message can point people directly towards you, God. I pray for anybody in this room today who is hurting in any way, Lord, we just pray that there will be hope found today, that there is healing found today. We pray that your Holy Spirit fill this room and my words, God. I just thank you for every person here. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I believe that church should be fun, so I wanted to start us off today with a few laughs. And so I don't know if you guys have Twitter. I have Twitter. I'm still trying to decide if social media is of the devil or if it's a useful tool used to reach people for Christ. I'm still on the fence, but for now, I have Twitter. And so I've come across some Twitter New Year's resolutions. And I don't know if you guys make New Year's resolutions. I know in the past that I did, but typically I found myself setting myself up for failure right out of the gate because I couldn't live up to the expectations of the New Year's resolutions that I was making. And so I have a few people here that I believe are not setting themselves up for success. Here is Alex. Alex tweets, "This past year I went to the gym 4 times and my New Year's resolution is to cut that number in half." Alex has big dreams for the year 2020. I would argue that Alex is not setting himself up for success. Twitter person number 2, this is Kaisi St. Ange. Kaisi says, "My New Year's resolution is that I'm going to flat out ignore anybody who spells or says my name wrong. It's not that hard." This one stuck out to me because I am from the deep south, Alabama. Me and my family moved here 3 years ago. And as you know, name pronunciation is not our strongest gift in the deep south. So me and Kaisi would typically have to work really, really hard at being friends. Twitter person number 3 we have here, this is Allie, and she is kind of speaking to how I feel about New Year's resolutions. "My New Year's resolution is to be more efficient, so I'm giving up on it right now instead of wasting all January acting like I can't achieve it." These people are not setting themselves up for success in the year 2020. But what if I were to tell you that God has a plan for you to be successful in this next year? God has a plan for every person in this room to thrive. God has a plan for you to have your best year yet. If you have your Bibles or iPhones, we're going to be reading from Ephesians 3:14-21 today. And I love this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And the church in this season is kind of suffering from burnout. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of there's a lack of vision. They're not really sure the direction that the church is going. And so Paul is writing this letter to be a source of encouragement to them, but also kind of give them a blueprint to be successful in their next season. And so I think that God is going to use this same passage of Scripture for us today to be able to find some ways that we can see God allow us to have success in the year 2020. So Ephesians 3:14-16 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." So I have four steps today for us to assure 2020 will be our best year yet. It'll be the best year of our lives if it's the best year of our lives spiritually. So number one, what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, I bend my knee and praise our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Jewish practice back in the day was when you were on bended knee, it was a demonstration, a show of reverence to God, that he is the Lord of our lives, that he is the creator of the universe, that he is our heavenly Father. And so when I say that word surrender, there's probably many people in this room that get a little uncomfortable. And that used to be me. I used to struggle with the thought of surrendering those areas of my life that maybe I didn't want to share with anyone. Maybe I didn't want to talk about. Maybe that had really held me back from a full relationship with Jesus. And so what Paul is saying is that when we get on bended knee and we show reverence to our Heavenly Father and we say, I have some areas in my life that are messed up. I have areas in my life that are not of you. I need to surrender my life to you. And today, this is still the international sign of surrender, is that when we take this posture, when we take a posture of surrender, we're saying to not just God, but to everyone, I surrender my life. Jesus said that whoever loses their life for my sake will fully live. And so when we take this posture of surrender, we ask God to strip away those things, the barriers that have been in our life that have kept us from a fruitful relationship with Jesus. We have to be willing to surrender. And as I say that, you are picturing that one thing in your head right now. We all have it. I have it. You have it. You have it. There's areas of our life that are messy, that maybe cause a lot of hurt and pain. And if we don't surrender those things, we will not be able to experience the fullness of God. The miracle is just past the step of surrender. We have to be willing to take a posture of surrender and ask God to do something incredible in our lives. He is strong when we are weak. Listen, I can't do anything in my own power. I'm not that creative. I'm not that smart. I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that gifted. But through Christ, I can do all things. And so what I want you to know in this room today is that no matter what your past failures look like or your deficiencies look like, that you have the creator of the universe that's on your side, who is your heavenly Father, who loves you intimately, who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, and he's walking with you every step of this life. When we surrender, we receive the fullness of God. Whenever I was struggling, and I've shared my story here before, and from age 14 to 24, I was in addiction with drugs, with depression, with alcohol, with anxiety, you name it, I had it. And I found myself at age 24 just completely hopeless. And so at the end of my addiction, I ended up overdosing and then went to rehab and gave my heart to Jesus. As some of you guys have heard that story. It's incredible. But right before that happened, what I would do is I would go and give plasma to be able to get money to go and buy drugs. And so that was my daily life. I'd go give plasma, and I would get money and go buy drugs. And I had no hope in life, and I was going to die this way. And I remember before you get plasma, you have to be tested. So the last time that I went before I ended up getting saved is they tested me, and I tested positive for hepatitis C. And so hepatitis C is an incurable disease that often occurs from drug use, and at the end of my addiction, I was a heroin addict. I shared needles. And so I wasn't able to give plasma that day. I had another thing in my life that I was just hopeless about. And so the next day, I overdosed. The next day, I went to rehab. A week later, I gave my heart to Jesus. And even though I gave my heart to Jesus, this might relate to somebody in this room. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus. I was still completely full of skepticism and shame. Skepticism and shame. I believe that if God was real, I didn't think he could do a miracle in my life. God is this distant father. I've done too much to receive his love. There's too much shame. I'm too big of a failure. God wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. I'm going to give my life to him. I gave my heart to him, but I still had skepticism and shame that was causing blockages around my heart, so I couldn't really receive the fullness of God. And so after I gave my heart to Jesus, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, I was following God, and I had these big miracle prayers. I was praying that God could restore our family. Me, my wife, we had our daughter was a baby, And it would take a miracle to restore it. My dad-in-law and my mom's stepmom are right here today, and they've never heard part of the story. And so it would take a miracle to restore the family. And so I was going to go to the clinic, and I knew I needed to get tested because I needed to see the extent of the hepatitis C. And honestly, I just still had shame and skepticism. And I was thinking to myself, you know, God, I want to go before Bridget, and I want her to take me back. And the last thing I really want to say is, hey, I'm following Jesus now, but I contracted hepatitis C from IV drug use. That's not a good way to win her heart back, I felt like. So I'm like, God, help me here. I'm praying for you to restore our family. And so I went to the doctor, and they drew blood again, and I tested positive for hepatitis C twice now. And they told me, hey, we need you to come back in a week. We're going to draw another blood sample, and we're going to send it off to be tested. And so in between, I had some mentors in my life who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what the Bible tells us is that if anyone among you is sick, to go before the elders of the church, anoint their head with oil, and pray healing over their body. And so we sat in a room for 2 hours. They anointed my head with oil, and we prayed prayers that brought heaven to earth. And we asked God for healing. And I was trying to remove the skepticism that God could perform a miracle in my life. I was trying to remove the shame that had consumed me for 10 years. And I went back to the clinic, and they drew blood, and she called me later, and she was like, well, you're not going to believe this, but when we drew blood and when we tested it, it's saying that there's no sign of hepatitis C in your blood. But I still had a little skepticism, so they were like, all right, we'll come back in another week, and we'll take another blood sample. And so I went back the next week, and they drew another blood sample to test for hepatitis C. It came back. They said, there's no sign of disease in your blood. There's never been any disease in your blood. I don't know what happened, but you have been healed of whatever it was that you were walking through. So if you're in here today and you're walking through hurt, if you're walking through depression, if you're walking through disease, you need to know that our God still performs miracles today. Our God is a miracle-working God. That's what he does. He's in the miracle-working business, and business is booming. There's miracles that happen on earth today. And so a year later, just for the skeptics in the room who are thinking that was a false negative, a year later I went back so I could hammer the nail when I'm sharing this story. And I got tested again, and there's still no sign of hepatitis C in my blood because my God is healer. My God can heal all things. There's nothing that our God can't do. And so really quick, I want to speak to another portion of the room. Maybe you're in here today and you've been praying for a miracle in you or a loved one's life for 30 years, and you are still waiting on the miracle. My mom and my big brother are in heaven, and both of them were in accidents, and both of them were on life support, and we had to pull the plug. And we were praying faithful prayers, and we were believing that God would heal, and he didn't. And so if that's you in this room here today, I want you to know that sometimes the miracle is in the waiting. Sometimes the breakthrough is in the waiting, and we can't see it because we're consumed with all that other stuff. What God did in those other seasons was perform other miracles that I couldn't see in the moment because of the anger and depression that I had. So what I'm sharing with you is when we ask God to tear this stuff away and we surrender whatever it is that is holding us back, and we say, God, this is me. I need a miracle. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel said in the fiery furnace. They said, our God will deliver us from the flame, but even if he does not, I will worship. We have a heavenly Father who is worthy of our worship, and we will worship and praise until we see the miracle happen. Do we believe that, church, that our God is worthy of our praise? Our God is a miracle-working God. There's nothing that he cannot do. Number two, and for you note takers, four ways to make this the best year of your life. Number one is surrender. Number two is to give in abundance. Give in abundance. And so some of you are thinking, what does that really look like? And so what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3:17 is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The believer who is rooted in the love of Christ has an endless supply of nourishment. The believer who says, I am all in with Jesus. The believer who says, I want to serve God. They give in abundance. They're a cheerful giver. And so you're asking, what does that look like? I have three ways that you can give. And number one is give your finances. And so when I say that, I don't want this to sound like another typical tithe talk, because this concept changed, was a huge part of our miracle story. We wouldn't be here without this. Right when I got out of rehab, we had nothing. I was serving tables. We had a baby. I was serving tables, and we had nothing. And we lived in the country ghetto. Like my dad-in-law's. It was like the country ghetto, wasn't it? Yeah, it was like the country ghetto, okay? Buell, Alabama was the name. Buell, Alabama. It sounds like the country ghetto. That's where we lived. I actually have a picture of some of our neighbors from that time period. Here they are. This is Bubba Boudreaux and Billy. Guys, you're watching. Love you, praying for you. This is what some of our neighbors would have looked like in this season. And so, but we had this concept. We believed that if God was going to do miracles in our life, that we wanted to give him the first in everything that we had. And so listen, when you tithe and give 10%, it's one thing for it to be automatically deposited from your bank account. I mean, that's what we do today. But at this time period, I was serving tables. We had all cash. So we had a power bill that was more than the cash that we had, and we would count out 10%, and we would give it in the offering basket. And some of you in here may be in a position like that financially where you think, and this is a poverty mindset of thinking, you think that you don't have enough to give to make a difference. And here's what I want you to know. That when Jesus was feeding, was teaching to the masses, and in Scripture it says there's about 5,000 people around. But in these times, they really didn't count the women and children. So really, there was about 15,000 people that Jesus was teaching to. And a lot of people, he was teaching all day, so a lot of people were like, hey, everybody's hungry. We got to have some food. Everybody's getting real angry, hangry. You know, everybody's hungry. Been listening for a long time. We got to have some food. So he finds this boy. And I try to put myself in the shoes of this boy sometimes. And he tells this boy, he wants him to go get 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So if you're this boy, Jesus says, hey, we're going to feed all these people. Go get 5 loaves of bread and two fish. There's 15,000 people here. If I'm this boy, I'm skeptical. I'm saying, who is this guy? But here's what he didn't understand. And here's what I want you to know today when it comes to giving. That our little in the hands of God gets turned into more than enough. Our little in the hands of God gets turned into more than enough. So if you're in here today and you're questioning about, do I give? When we give God our first, the Bible says it's the only thing to test him in. When we give God our first, we give him our finances, we give him the first in all things, God will blow us away. We give our finances. Number two thing that we give is we give our time. And so I was recently listening to some messages to prepare for this message, and one of my favorite Bible teachers is John Maxwell. I'm a big John Maxwell fan. I promise I didn't plagiarize this today's message from John Maxwell. John Maxwell didn't have hepatitis C. but he did say something that I want to use. He was starting his sermon off, and he was saying, if you want 2020 to be the best year of your life, I got two things for you. And I was like, man, he's this great theological thinker. And I'm like, this must be the most profound thing I've ever heard. So I got my notepad out. I'm ready to take notes and hear what he has to say. He said, 2020 will be the best year of your life if you do two things. If you love and serve people. If you love and serve people. When we give in abundance and we give our time to loving the one, listen, Jesus was the most on-mission person that's ever walked this earth. He had a lot to do in a short amount of time, but he always had time for the one. When we read through the Gospels, he always had time for the one. We often think, hey, let's get the crowds, and that'll be exciting, and that'll be fun. But if we minister to the one, then the crowds will come. Jesus always had time for the one. And so, who is that one person in your life? Maybe it's somebody that nobody notices. Maybe it's somebody you don't know why you feel that connected with them. But maybe they've been struggling with addiction for 20 years, and you're the only person that they've talked to. Maybe they've been going through a divorce, and they're hurting and contemplating taking their life. Maybe they're going through the darkest of days, and they're praying for a miracle, and maybe just God sent them you. What if we were a church that invested in the one every step of our lives? And we said, I'm going to love that person. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to encourage that person. I'm not going to give up on that person. I'm going to believe that a miracle can happen in Jesus' name because I know that our God is healer. I'm going to love that one person like they were Jesus himself. What if everybody in this church made a commitment to that? That's how a move of God happens. When you love the one, let's be a church that loves, irrationally loves the one. We have to love the one. We give our time. We're intentional of giving our time. Number three way to give is to give your story. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. Each and every person in this room has a testimony. And you know, I like the testimonies that aren't like mine, that weren't as extreme as mine. But every testimony is significant. Because every person in this room, when you give and surrender your heart to Jesus, you go from certain death to receiving eternal life in Jesus' name. And there is nothing more profound than that. And you have a story to tell. And your story can bring hope to a hurting person that has lost it. When we share our story and we're willing to get out of our comfort zone and say, this is who I am. I'm broken. This is how God healed me. This is the struggle that I'm struggling with. God will bring healing into your life and to others. Give your story. Maybe you're in here today and we get so comfortable sometimes. And I want to talk a little bit about, we get so comfortable with where we're at in our faith and we get kind of stuck in our comfort zone and you know, I love Jesus, but I'm not gonna share that at work. You know, that'd be weird. I'm not gonna share that at work. You know, I follow God, but I'm not gonna serve people. I'm not gonna serve. I really God's done some cool stuff in my life, but I'm not gonna talk about it. People will think I'm weird. And we get so consumed with our comfort zone. And we're right here, and we're keeping God at a distance right over there. And, hey, God, you know, everybody in this room, we need a miracle in some way in our lives. But we get so consumed in the comfort zone. And we say, hey, God, I need a miracle over here. And what God is wanting you to do is to take steps towards him. But we get so consumed with our comfort. And I want you guys to know, listen in close, miracles are never birthed out of comfort. Miracles happen when we step out in faith and we say, this is what Jesus did in my life. I was struggling from abuse and depression and suicidal thoughts. And then I met Jesus and everything changed. And he filled me with hope and compassion and love. And all of a sudden we become vessels of hope. And we bring hope into other people's lives. Give your story. Number three, to make 2020 the best year of your life is to take next steps. It might sound cliche, but it's so important. Paul says in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to take next steps. He doesn't want us to get consumed in our comfort zone. He wants us to take next steps. Everybody in this room, no matter, maybe you don't even know God, maybe you're testing the waters to find out about Jesus, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you're in here and you've been a Christian for 30 years and a follower of Jesus for 30 years, but you feel a little burnout, or maybe you're on fire for God right now. No matter what your story is, we all have a next step. We all have a step to take. And so what that looks like here at Restoration Community Church is our four values, which are know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so, by the way, those four things have been happening since the Old Testament. This isn't like a creative restoration thing. These four things have been happening in the lives of people since the Old Testament. Is that God wants everybody to know Him. Sometimes we think God is this distant figure when He is a relational heavenly Father that wants to walk step for step through life with us. God loves you so much. God sent His Son Jesus to the cross. He would have done it just for you, not for humanity, just for you, because He loves and believes in you so much. God loves you. He has a next step for you. And we want everybody to find freedom. God wants everybody to find freedom. And what that looks like here at church is small groups. Kaylee mentioned Connect Weekend. Small groups changed me and Bridget's lives. As soon as we met Jesus, we got in a group. And maybe you're in here and you're introverted and that sounds scary, and it can be scary, I understand that. But we find life change in relationships. Our story consists of unlimited relationships that poured into us. We wouldn't be here without those relationships. God wants you to find freedom through relationships. Get in community. There's so many small groups to jump into. Just take a step of faith. Take your next step. Get in a small group. And we want everybody to discover purpose. And what our growth track is completely about is helping you discover your purpose of why God has put you on this earth. We've all been given spiritual gifts that God has given us to, number four, make a difference. You were created on purpose for a purpose to make a difference in this world. What if we walked around Denver as a bunch of difference makers who were walking out our purpose, who were saying, I'm going to share my story. I'm going to take next steps. I'm going to encourage other people. I'm going to be a light in this city. God can use that. God can do something amazing through that. God can do a miracle through that. So we take next steps. We are intentional about taking our next steps. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done from him. What I want us to do today, heading into 2020, is to have that mountaintop type of faith, where we believe anything can happen, because God, the creator of the universe, can do all things. And here, get this. I want you guys to really fully comprehend this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about that problem that you have and that struggle that you have. And tell yourself, remind yourself, speak it over your heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that He hasn't equipped you to be able to handle. Jesus walked through everything on this earth. He knows what you're walking through. Allow Him, surrender. Allow Him to walk with you to your next step. And God will do something incredible in your life. What if we believe the impossible could happen today? What if we're in here and there's been this thing, this struggle, this diagnosis, this pain, and it's just been manifesting for a long time, but we believe that a miracle could happen? The number four way to make 2020 the best year of your life is to go all in with Jesus. What if we were a church? What if we were a group of people who made a declaration, not a resolution, a declaration, and we said, I'm going all in with Jesus this year. I'm going to give every part of me to him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek for me and find me when you search with your whole heart. I'm going to up my pursuit. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to surrender everything that I got. I'm going to give it all to him. I'm going to live a life of meaning. Paul says in Ephesians 3:20-21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly more in and through your life than you can possibly comprehend in this moment today. I want to put it on the screen for us to look at, but every person in this room needs to know there is more. God has more for your life. God has more meaning for your life. God has more opportunity for your life. He created you for grander things than we can envision our lives looking like. God created us for greatness. We are the son or daughter of the living God. There is more. God has more for our lives. And so I want to end today, and like I said, I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but I am into declarations. And so as a church today, I would love for us to declare, my name is Brady, and I am going all in with Jesus. My name is Julie, and I'm going all in with Jesus. My name is Ginger, and I'm going all in with Jesus. What if today as a church, we declare 2020, the year that we went all in for Jesus? I believe our lives will never be the same. 2020 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Let's pray. Father, we declare today that you are the Lord of our lives. We declare that we believe a miracle can happen because you are a miracle-working God. We believe this next season will be filled with your love and goodness. We pray to have open hearts and open eyes to see opportunities to share your love with others. We pray right now for healing and hope. Every person in this room, healing and hope in the year 2020. You know every detail of our lives, God. There's nothing that we can hide from you. And we pray that you'll be involved in every area of us. Your favorite thing, us. We pray that you'll fill every part of our lives with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we give God some praise for who he is? He's an amazing God. And he loves you so much.